America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m.
I'm Ivy Hilton, and you are listening to America Meditating Radio Show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Vint Verga, author of The Soul of All Living Creatures, and I listen to America Meditating Radio.
He went without food, not to lose weight, but to help people lose generations of hate. While many around him rose up with violence, he sat down for peace. When others used religion as an excuse for war, he used it to remind them of love. Mahatma Gandhi made the world a far better place by reaching out with the strength he cultivated within his soul. Soul, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat, I'm stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in the nation's capital. I don't care how many times I hear that song by Sinatra Kaur. I still catch my head waving back and forth, you know, in and out. And it's interesting how certain songs can emote within your consciousness, your own life review. And, you know, I always ask all of you, or basically mention to many of you, to, when you do your life review, keep checking where you seem to pause as you're doing your review, like what seems to amplify or highlight itself in your life review. There could be your greatest lesson and your greatest curve in terms of, I could have done that better, or, wow, that's the way I need to keep continuing with that, because life is about refining and upgrading, isn't it? And it's about leading us towards what I would call mental freedom. I can't free you if I myself don't know how to be free. Do you agree? So in terms of us trying to find the answer to our own life situations, I think it has a lot to do with our reflection and the confidence that we show up to ourselves with and implement as we move along. You're listening to America Meditating Radio 24/7. You can get us on Streeter, TuneIn, what have you, in your cars, on the app, Pause for Peace app, which was designed by a 13-year-old trying to utilize his time in a worthwhile way. So if you ever begin to amplify the Pause for Peace app, I think you're supporting the voice of the youths and the power of their good deeds when they really want to use all that energy up for something good. So please download the Pause for Peace app. The America Meditating Radio is really proud to welcome Ishita Gupta. And Ishita is an entrepreneur, speaker, and business breakthrough strategist. Building her business from zero to multiple six figures in 1 year, she helps entrepreneurs get the confidence they need to run their business like a pro. Now, her programs are focused on helping business owners lay foundations, you know, to make money, create systems to increase productivity, to sell with confidence, and to do high-impact marketing that actually gets results. And isn't that what life's about? I'm not talking about doing things because you definitely want to get something back from it, but I believe in using your energy to see what it manifests as a result. You know, energy is in all of us. We are all souls and we're all beings of light, right? But what is that light manifesting? So Ishita speaks at conferences around the U.S. on entrepreneurship and leadership, including World Domination Summit, TEDx, Detroit, Columbia University, and much more. Today, I'd like to welcome Ishita to the America Meditating Radio. Hello, and a very warm welcome to you, my dear.
Good morning, Sister Jenna. Thank you for that introduction, and I love that music. I was in my own trance as I was listening to it. I thought I was hearing it for a few minutes, and it was just put me in such a peaceful, calm state. So it was beautiful. Thank you.
I bet your head was swaying back and forth like mine, right?
It was. It totally was.
Well, hey, congratulations on all the good that's emerging for you. I know that you're on your way to attend medical school, which most Indian parents tend to push their kids into.
Yes. It's a very common thing that happens.
Yeah, it's either medical or engineering. You know, it's just got to be one
right.
of the two. Medicine,
I know.
It's unique. I mean, speaking just from a cultural standpoint, to actually begin to listen to your own mind and to hear your own calling. So instead of med school, you studied documentary photography and attended Seth Godin's six-month MBA program. You know, what were you feeling inside, Ishita, that led you to make that massive career change? And why were you inspired to look more into business than medicine?
That's such a great question. I like that question better than how did you get to where you are, which is what most people ask, because it's such an internal journey. And, you know, at the time when I was studying for medical school, you know, I applied to medical school after about 3 to 4 years of really studying hard for it and taking lots of tests and spending lots of money trying to get in. You know, it wasn't so much that when I made the decision, I actually got in, got my admission, got my acceptance, and it wasn't so much that this wasn't, oh my God, it didn't feel like the dream I had worked towards for so long. It was a feeling of real deep restlessness inside of me that even after I had gotten this so-called dream that my parents had wanted for me, and culturally and societally speaking, how I grew up was the end-all be-all. I mean, this is the holy grail to get into medical school, because now the next 20 years, 30 years of your life are basically set. And so I didn't quite understand what was going on inside at the time, I just knew it was a deep feeling of restlessness and discomfort. And it was actually a very confusing 2 to 3 years after that, because once I said no to medical school, I actually had to figure out what I wanted to say yes to. And that in and of itself was a journey of, you know, I'll keep it real for all of our listeners, of real confusion and a dark time of soul searching. And for so long I had spent time, I'd always had a personal relationship with God, but I think growing up I had sort of subdued my internal signals and my intuition. And saying no to medical school was sort of the first step in listening and trusting my intuition, but it was messy at first because I didn't know how to harness my intuition and listen to it properly.
Mm-hmm. I don't think many of us did, you know, we were 19, 20, 21, but the fact that the real word that you're using here is that you were listening. And I think in your listening, you were perhaps using the virtue of honesty, you know, checking, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right.
It didn't feel right at all.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of things at that time did feel right, to be quite honest, because it was a searching time. You know, I think we go through times in our lives where we expect answers, really big answers to come. And I certainly did after I said no to medical school, because I thought, well, certainly there must be something out there that does feel right for me and makes me really light up. And the answer to that was, yeah, Ishita, there is, but you're going to have to go on this journey to figure out what that is and tweak and keep refining and learning about yourself. And the more you listen as you keep living your life, the easier the answers will come to you and be there. But it took me, I mean, I'm still learning that lesson. But it took me in my early 20s, it took me a good 2 to 3 years. You know, I was a caretaker for one of my aunts who was physically and mentally challenged for a full year. And that taught me a lot about my inner strength. I taught kids that had autism. And that taught me a lot about not wanting to work with people where the short-term results weren't there. You know, and at first I looked at that as something, as a character flaw within myself. Who are you, someone who doesn't like to work with kids who are disabled? That sounds insane. But when I really looked at it, you know, in working with, and it was a wonderful experience working with kids with autism, I shouldn't say disabled, kids with autism, I realized the type of person that I am, and it was a huge learning for me at the time, likes to see long-term and also short-term results.
And sure, and I think that's your balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you're a work in progress like we all are, and I think what rings out loudly for me are just these voices of the millennials who really make me keep checking myself to see how far we've come and also how far ahead you are in the game of consciousness. You reminded me of Reshma Thakur. She was in Oprah's First Believe episode series, and Reshma and I have become very good friends. And you have so many similarities, and I think this is really the culture that's emerging with the millennials, because you've kind of inherited an age of technology and the acceleration of thinking and moving fast. And we know that that's not normal energy for energy to function. It's not normal for any soul. But for those of you who are rising up and going, I don't feel safe, you know, all the pieces are not feeling right. And if my innocence is not even there, then really, what am I going for? In 2010, you founded Fearless Magazine. It was a digital magazine profiling hundreds of authors, entrepreneurs. I don't know why you didn't call me. But anyway, thought leaders and how they've overcome fear. And you actually said that it started because you were scared and wanted to see how others were dealing with that energy, because fear is such a big topic today. What were you able to learn about fear? Please tell our listeners and maybe give them one or two tips in how you've dealt with it so far and what you're doing to overcome even more of it.
Sure. Yeah, Fearless. And now, Sister Jenna, you're on my radar. So, of course, we will happily get you on. But, you know, at the time, I was working with Seth Godin, who's a big businessman and blogger. And my transition into that was a fearful one because I had no business and marketing experience. This was after 2 to 3 years of experimenting professionally. So, as I mentioned, doing a bunch of things that were teaching me about myself. And so I felt like professionally a lot was riding on this. And it was a very terrifying experience. I went home and I cried every single night for 3 hours. I would have to Google what we did all day because none of it made sense to me. And one day Seth walks in and says, start a business or a project. And I said, you're crazy. I don't know how to start a business. What does that even mean? And so I started this project, and the only thing I could possibly think to do was, I didn't even care about the project. I said, what is going to take me out of this feeling of fear, insane fear? And it was basically, for me, how I've always learned is by people's specific, very specific stories and insight. Platitudes don't really work for me. I really needed some real insight from people about what they'd gone through at a deep level of fear. And so I started interviewing. It was like the only thing I could think to do. And I started interviewing, and come to find out, I think I interviewed like 50 to 75 people on my own, and then my partner at the time interviewed some more. It was such a good way for me to see that first and foremost, fear exists for all of us. And I interviewed some amazing entrepreneurs and some people who were at the top of their game in business, best-selling authors. And it was so wonderful for me to hear from them that no matter what stage, they were feeling fear, they had felt it, they were continuing to feel it. And it just sort of leveled the playing field that I wasn't crazy going through this fear. And, you know, people often ask me, what are the biggest things that I've learned from that? And it's hard to pick a couple, but I will say the thing that stands out for me and that I sort of remember, even when I'm in fear now, is the aspect of control. And another aspect is taking action. So lots of time when we're in fear, it's because things are out of our control. You know, our relationships are blowing up. We're scared of things happening on the other side of the world that might happen to us. We've just lost our job of no fault of our own. So all of these aspects of control are things that when we're in fear, we either obsess about or think about or try to control. So I'll give you, you know, some examples. Business is variable. It's uncertain. And so if I tried to control the parts of business how many people are on my list, how many people are listening to my interviews, how many people come to me as clients, it becomes a very fearful environment. But if I control the things that I can control, like doing an interview that for me feels resonant and aligned with who I am, or putting out marketing that only speaks to messages and customers that I feel I want to talk to, I'm only controlling the things that I can control. And in fact, I'm leaving the rest to God and the universe and letting it run its course. I am doing my part and the things that I can control. And that really helped me reduce a lot of my fear because I stopped worrying about outcomes so much and I started focusing instead on the second part, which is my action. And action is something that will really help you get out of fear. So, and you know, sometimes it can be blind action. So I remember moments of time where, I mean, I would be at work with Seth and I would be just weeping in the bathroom because I was just scared of looking like a failure, scared of not knowing what to do, just scared. And the only thing I could possibly do locked in that bathroom was look at, well, what's the first action that's going to A, help me get calmer and start to feel okay within myself? And that was usually some kind of conversation with God and my inner self, you know, and that has to come first before you just start taking like blind action and emailing a bunch of people and doing all this thing. Is first take the action to get yourself in a more calm state, in a state where you're feeling a little bit more in tune with yourself, because fear really just sends you in a tailspin and it puts you out of yourself and it gets you really claustrophobic and narrow thinking. So that was first. And then the second thing I asked myself is, what action can I take to do whatever is necessary? And often that looks like a much, much smaller action than what I originally thought. So let's say Seth gave me a task and I didn't know where to begin with it. In my mind, it becomes a big monster and there's so many parts of this thing that I don't know how to do. Small steps.
It's like the Buddha said that to become a master, it has so much to do with the small actions that you perform. And I so get that. And what I was interpreting when you're saying about offering small actions, I'm observing the scene where folks are leaning into what they're most uncomfortable with at times, whether it's stepping in front of a project or a person. That discomfort is a signal that there's a quality that's waiting to emerge, and this scenario and this person or this project is your opportunity to qualify yourself for that. And you know, it's funny because even when I look at fear on a really deep soul conscious level, I go back to the history and the soul. And what I come up with is a story. Many years ago, I was shoveling. I love to shovel when it snows out here in Washington. And all the students were outside with me having a ball. So I'm a little mischievous. That's how I stay young. And I rolled up this ball. I know you can sense
it. I can hear
it
in your voice.
So I rolled up this ball, you know, this snowball, and I pelted them. And they all looked at me like, oh, no, Sister Jenna just really pelted us. So they all started to roll up snowballs. And I looked at them and I said, you cannot hit me. I'm the big cheese. And I just started shoveling. And what happened, Ishita, is as I was shoveling the snow, I kept feeling like something should happen to me, like I was going to get hit. And that was the moment I understood where my fears were rooted. There were actions in my past that I did to others and thought I got away with it. And they were coming back to face me. And so it was interesting because the way I turned back at it was that I looked at them and I said, I'm so sorry I pelted you. If you want to pelt me, you can, but I could go in and make you pakora and make up for it. And so I realized...
Which option did they choose?
Pakora.
Yeah.
And then I realized that in really when people say, you know, remove fear with love, I get that. I so get that. I want to move on a little bit to your business part. You know, in your business,
sure.
You aim to help others bring more confidence and power into their lives. And based on your experience, what have you generally found to be some of the causes for a lack of confidence and power? And how do you go about helping people to overcome their own challenges?
So in business, you know, and actually I can extrapolate that to life, there are lots of reasons why someone is lacking in confidence or feels like their self-esteem is a little bit lower. And one of the biggest reasons with my clients and that I also noticed with myself was a comparison mentality, was comparing ourselves to people who, you know, were 10 years, 20 years ahead of us. And I think maybe it is a millennial thing where we look to people who are 10, 20 years ahead, like our mentors, and we feel like, you know, we skip over the part where they themselves had to go through the lack of confidence and the part of the journey where they were learning and growing themselves. And when you're learning and growing, you can't necessarily also be super confident at the same time. They are mutually exclusive. When you are a beginner, it feels nasty. When you are a master is when you start to feel that confidence start to come into play. And so a lot of times with my clients, I try to remind them that, you know, wherever they are in the journey is exactly where they need to be to learn what their soul and consequently their business is trying to teach them. They are both very much aligned. And so comparing mentality and comparing ourselves to others is where a lot of suffering comes in because we have our own magic. We have our own flavor and our own reasons for pursuing what we pursue and purpose, our own purpose. And so when people can anchor in their own individuality and magic, they tend to feel more confident. It's like, you know, me trying to out-Google Google. I will never, never be that person. And so I can just be Ishita, and with that comes uniqueness and magic and flavor. And when I anchor in that, I am far more able to take action and do what needs to be done.
I like that a lot because it is as you continue to move forward in acclimating yourself to something that you get good at, it's natural for that conviction and confidence to emerge. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it has to come. I think confidence comes from confusion. You know, you have to go through that period of time where you're trying to figure it out and business is hard enough in and of itself. There is a period of time for everyone. I mean, Seth has been doing this for 20, 30 years. And when he started, and to this day, there are days where he is lacking confidence. And, you know, it happens to all of us. And when you remember that there is actually no one else on this planet like you with your talents, with your energy, with your stories, that can motivate you to then step out in the way, in a confident way that will attract clients and opportunities and people. But if we stay in the mentality of, I'm not good enough because X, Y, and Z is already doing it and look at them, then it really leads to a lot of pain. And another thing I will say is you're going to disappoint some people. You know, who I am does not look like how my family or my parents or society, the one I grew up in, wants me to look. And so there's a lot of stepping back and stepping forth and stepping back and stepping forth into the person I am versus the person I keep thinking I should be according to the rest of society. And so a lot of confidence issues comes from not just letting all of that go and really being okay, disappointing a fair number of people and really going through that hardship of saying, no matter how it looks, I have to stand in who I am. Because confidence can only come from something real and foundational.
And let me add there, because, you know, as we accelerate our own level of consciousness, is it that we are disappointing others or are we inspiring others to also listen to their own inner call? And so I think that for many of us who are listening to what's really calling us at a higher level, I mean, I'm in an organization that's huge, the Brahma Kumaris, and everyone is so beautiful in their own way, yet I'm a mold that cannot be replicated because the soul has a relationship with God, and between the soul and God, how and in what way you're designing and your part is to play, if you're listening to that silence and to that divinity, it can't really copy another person. Yes, you will maybe attract the energy of like-minded beings because your vibrations are amplified or in a particular state, so you attract that energy. So imagine looking at everyone as these energies just trying to find their own vortexes to support them. So I know that for me, I've reached a point, I'm not about disappointing you. I'm about listening to the truth within the soul. And it might inspire you because you're still so focused on what other people are going to say about you and what other people want from you. And I interviewed a wonderful lady from Australia, Ishita, and she wrote a book on some of the 5 regrets that people had on their dying bed. And would you believe one of them was, I didn't do what I wanted to do. I did everything for everyone else. And so I think you're really on the right mark, and it's really an important call of the time. And I really want to thank you for that kind of a contribution that you're doing, because as you and so many others keep rippling this energy of courage and listening and being honest, I believe that we're going to move into this golden stage where we're okay with ourselves, so there's harmony in the environment. Before I let you go, is there anything pressing that Ishita is working on and would love if you left us with your favorite life quote and a website that our listeners can get in touch with you if they wanted to find out more about the work you're doing?
Sure. Thank you for that. I have just really, really enjoyed this. Now I'm going to go and listen to all of your interviews. Yes, if for anyone listening, please do get in touch with me for questions on any of what we talked about today. You can easily find me at ishitagupta.com. That's my first name and last name.com. Same thing with my email address, ishita@ishitagupta.com. And, you know, I think the next thing that I'm working on is it's sort of the 2.0 version of my current business programs, which is combining the more business part with also much more spiritual principles, because I've found the two are very, very intertwined for me and how I live and how I run my business. And so next year, we'll be having a lot of retreats internationally, and we'll also be combining a lot more of spiritual principles and how to put those into practice along with the business side of things. I'm very excited about that. And, you know, thank you for having me on the show. It's been really a lovely way to start my day. So really appreciate it.
Anytime. And please come back if you've got anything pressing and important. And Ishita, if you're in Washington, know that you have a space that you could enter into and offer your gifts as a service to our community here in the nation's capital. So just let us know if you come to D.C.
Oh, thank you. Yes, absolutely. And I will, make it up there.
Please do. So take good care and happy holidays.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I am so loving the voices of these millennials and their courage and their strength of moving forward and amplifying consciousness. And I think it makes those of us who are coming from a different generation and just a different genre of communicating and being quite revealing. And maybe a check, like where do I need to go with myself now that I'm 50, 60, or 70? What are the things that I need to start to share? So anyway, I hope you've enjoyed catering to her inner entrepreneurship by Ishita Gupta. Please visit her at ishitagupta.com for more information. And remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. And hey, it's the holidays, so please get a copy of Off the Grid Into the Heart by yours truly, Sister Jenna, on CD Baby or iTunes, and give it to friends. It's one of the nicest gifts you could ever have. We went to the screening of Concussions last night by Sony Pictures, and that was quite interesting to find out that there are 10 million sports-related disease injuries going on per year, and there really isn't a body that can help to sustain and help them. So please go and visit Concussions movie. It's going to be released on December 25th, and I think it's going to be definitely a game changer, especially in the area of sports. I'm not going to knock the NFL. I personally don't think they're really heavily responsible for all of that. I just think that there's a way that we can contribute to seeing how best we can continue to enjoy football and yet take care of those incredible young men on the field. So you're listening to America Meditating. Thank you so much. Happy holidays. I'm going to end this one with Dreamweaver by Gary White, and I'm wishing you all the best. Remember, just keep loving everybody the same. Okay? Take care.
Still maybe.